Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 10 of the Java Dad Cast. My name is Braden Gerard, your host, like always. And today we've got some interesting topics to talk about in coffee, tech, and gaming. So before I get started, I just wanted to remind people that I am still doing coffee giveaways. I've changed up the format a bit so that it's even easier for you guys to win a giveaway. All I want you to do is leave a review on the iTunes podcast player. And for every 10 reviews that I get on iTunes podcasts, I'm going to be giving away a free bag of coffee to one of those 10 people. So you have to make sure that you take a screenshot of your review and submit it on the Discord channel. You can find the Discord channel in the show notes and how to get there. And if you do that, then I'll know that the review is from you, and I will send over a free bag of coffee to one out of every 10 people who leaves a review. So definitely go check out the podcast on iTunes and leave a review there for your chance to win some awesome coffee. Okay, so let's get into the show for this week. First off, let's talk about eggshell coffee. Eggshell coffee, have you ever heard of that? I recently became acquainted with eggshell coffee, and the coffee that I was drinking, and I'll talk about that a bit more after, had on the bag, you know, we put eggshells in our coffee to make our coffee smoother. And that got me thinking, why would you put eggshells in coffee, and why does this make it smoother? So I'm going to talk a bit about that today. Second, I'm going to talk about capture cards. I've recently purchased a capture card for myself that I'm using for some live streaming and some other recordings that I'm doing. So I want to talk about what capture cards are, who would need them, what some options are if you want a very budget option, or if you want something that's affordable but high quality, or if you want something more high end. And we'll talk about all that. And then finally, in gaming, I'm going to talk about Cyberpunk 2077. This game was one of the most hyped games. It was the biggest game coming out for 2020. And I want to talk a bit about that hype and why we shouldn't always go after games that are hyped. Okay, so let's get into it with the eggshell coffee. You can make a less bitter coffee by putting eggshells in it. And why? Like this I was really confused by this at first. But if you want your coffee to be smoother, which means it's less bitter, you can crush up eggshells and put them into your grounds before you brew the coffee. Now, the reason this works is because coffee is acidic by nature, okay? So some coffees can be more acidic than other coffees, but it's a natural property of coffee. When the coffee beans grow, they have something, they have some chlorogenic acids in the beans, okay? And these chlorogenic acids get affected when you're roasting the coffee. So the longer you roast the coffee for, so a darker roast, will remove more chlorogenic acids, making the coffee less acidic to the taste. And it'll make your coffee a bit smoother tasting. So as these chlorogenic acids are degraded during the roasting, they form what are called quinic acids. Okay. So as you lose chlorogenic acids, you gain quinic acids. Now, quinic acids are what is responsible for that sour taste in coffee. So while darker roasted coffees may have less of an acidic taste profile, they may have more of that sour taste, okay? So a lighter roasted coffee will have more a more acidic-y profile, but you won't get that sour aftertaste with the coffee. Okay, so that's how the acids in the coffee can affect the taste. Now, a lot of people don't like the acidic-y taste, or what we call a strong taste to coffee. Okay, a lot of people associate a strong coffee with a coffee that's high in acidity. So if you don't like that strong taste and you want more of a smooth taste to your coffee, so it's not as strong, you can put eggshells in your coffee. And the reason this works is because the eggshells are an alkaline. Okay, and we all know from our days back in science class about the pH scale, right? The more alkaline that you add to neutralize the acid, the more neutral something will become, right? So it brings down that pH level if you add an alkaline. So when you add eggshells to a coffee, you are bringing down the acidity in the coffee, which will make it taste smoother since the eggshell is an alkaline. It'll neutralize that acid. So how do we know this? Who decided to start trying this? There's actually a little bit of history to it. So I don't know if this is where it first started, but I know that back in the days of the Wild West, typically cowboys and cowgirls would put eggshells in their coffee grounds because they were roasting their coffee over a campfire. And I don't know if you've ever been camping and tried to roast coffee over a campfire, you usually end up with some pretty strong coffee with a high acidic taste to it. So cowboys and cowgirls were like, hey, we'll put some eggshells in here and it's going to cut down the acidity levels in the coffee and giving them a smoother cup of coffee. So that's one piece of history of where it came from. I don't know if that's the only reason why it started, but I know that was a reason for sure. And shout out to Black Star Cowboy Coffee Company. They have this history on their website. You can look, you can read up on that. But I recently tried some of their coffee, and this is what got me thinking about the eggshell coffee. And their eggshell coffee with the name of the medium fire roasted bag. That is the coffee that I tried from them, and it is very smooth. It's very good coffee. So if you're looking for a smooth coffee that's already got eggshells in the grounds for you, take a look at Black Star Coffee or Black Star Cowboy Coffee. They have some great roasts there. And again, I like the medium fire roasted bag. It's like an orange bag. Anyway, that's a little bit of information on eggshell coffee and where it sort of came from. So on to the tech portion of this show. We're going to talk about capture cards today. So for those of you who have heard of a capture card before, you might already know some of this, but later on I'm going to talk about some different options for capture cards and some new either budget or high-end options for you. So for those of you who don't know what a capture card is, what are they? So a capture card is simply a little device. Some of them have onboard, like inside the card, they have processors and hardware that will do some of the video encoding for you so that your computer doesn't have to struggle so much with it. And others will just be more of a pass-through and then the software on the computer does it. But they're basically little devices that allow you to plug the video output from your device, so whether that be a console like a PlayStation or an Xbox, or whether that be your gaming PC or just your work PC that you might want to capture video off of, it allows you to take that video output, so your HDMI that you typically plug straight into your monitor, into this capture card first, and then the capture card then has an output where you can plug an HDMI from that output into your monitor. So it'll let the video still pass through the capture card, so it'll on your end, it'll look the same as before. You'll get the video coming from your source, either your computer or your gaming system, and displaying on your monitor. But it's passing through this capture card first. And what that allows the capture card to do is then take that signal and transfer it through a USB to your computer. So these capture cards will all have a little USB on them, and then you can take that USB and plug it into the computer. This gives you a separate video feed of everything that you're seeing on your monitor. So you can then record that and either live stream it or just record it to a video file and do whatever you'd like with it. So for live streamers, it's very popular because it allows them to capture what they're seeing on their PC and then stream it off of another PC so that they don't have to worry about slowing down their PC that they're gaming on. And then for people who might make tutorials and things like that, that just want to record their footage onto the hard drive of their computer, they can then do this again on a separate computer so that they're not slowing down the computer they're doing the recordings on. Or if they just want to record on a certain system, for example, on say a Mac, or they want to record a tutorial, maybe a tech tutorial on a gaming console, they can then record that to either a Windows PC or a Mac PC and save that video footage. So if you're into recording any sort of tutorials and stuff like this, capture cards may be very interesting to you. If you're looking at live streaming or recording gameplay footage from games, then they'll also be very attractive to you because really it takes all of the work off of your main computer that you're trying to get whatever you're doing done on and offsets it to another computer that you can use just for recording the footage. So who would need them? Well, we basically just talked about it. It's really for someone who wants to live stream, someone who wants to make YouTube videos, something like this, creatives that are looking to record basically what they're doing on their computer, or educators who want to make tutorials and then record those tutorial videos. Okay. So they allow you to do that very easily. And again, without slowing down your computer. And there's several different options that you can look into for capture cards. So recently, there has been a version of a capture card that has been mass produced. I believe it originally came from China, but it's a $25 capture card, which is like ridiculously cheap. Capture cards typically are anywhere from $150 upwards of $400 or $500. But recently there's been a capture card manufactured that is $25. You can find it on Amazon. If you just go to Amazon and search up like capture card, you'll find it there. It's the, who makes it? The Mobi Mic audio video capture card. It's $22.99 right now. This capture card does 1080p capture at 30 hertz. Okay, so you'll only be able to get 30 frames per second out of this capture card, but it does 1080p capture. It's very tiny. It's the size of like a thumb drive. And it basically has an input for an HDMI and then a USB on the other end. So it doesn't do pass through. So if you want to, if you want to be able to still view what you're capturing on your screen, you'll need to have something that has two video outputs, one that'll go to this capture card and one that'll go to your monitor. But it is great for if you want to connect up, say like a camcorder to your PC and record the footage off that camera or recording device, which is actually another use case I didn't talk about. So if you have a camera lying around at home that you want to use as a webcam, you can plug an HDMI into the mini HDMI out on those cameras and then plug it into the HDMI of the capture card, and it'll actually record everything your camera's seeing. So you can use a camera as like a very high quality webcam if you want, or to do live streaming from the camera. So this is a very affordable option to do that, or just capture game footage if you have two outputs on your system. So if it's a gaming PC, you probably have two video outputs, and you can plug the other one into this capture card, which is $25. Now, you can only record up to 30 frames per second, like I said. So if you have high action footage, it will be a little choppy. Typically, you want to record in like 60 frames per second or higher if you're doing fast action footage. Now, to get 60 frames per second 1080p capture, you can step up to something that is a little bit more expensive, but still fairly affordable. And those you'll be looking in the range of products made by AverMedia, which is actually the capture card that I just purchased and I really like it. Or there's also Elgato capture cards, which is sort of like one of the bigger names in the space, who also do stuff in the $180 to $250 price range for 1080p 60 frame per second capture. Now, the AverMedia actually has something called, I believe it's the Mini Gamer capture card, something like that. Anyways, it's the mini model, which is, I think, around $140 Canadian. And that does 1080p 60 frame per second footage. That's the one I have. I love it so far. I've had no complaints. It captures my footage great. I do have to say, if there's like some really high action scenes, you will see some quality degradation a bit. But I mean, I'm streaming in 1080p, so it's not really that noticeable, and it still looks okay. For $140 1080p 60 frames per second capture card, it is great. I know Elgato has some other options as well that do 1080p 60 frames per second. And you can even get some higher end Elgato cards that are that actually go right inside of your PC case if you have a desktop, and plugs into your motherboard through a PCI slot. And that's basically a really fast connection to the capture card that allows it to record really high quality. So you could do 4K footage in either 30 or 60 frames per second. When you start talking about recording in 4K, 60 frames per second, you're looking at capture cards that are $300, $400 plus. And the really high end ones, again, plug right into the motherboard, since, it's just too much to send over, USB. So those are some options for different capture cards. Again, look into AverMedia or, Elgato. If you're looking for a medium to high end card, there are still affordable options there. If you're looking for something very budget that you can try out off Amazon, take a look at that roughly $25, capture card. I have one. It works great for 30 frames per second 1080p capture. Okay, finally on to our gaming section. The largest, most hyped game of 2020 was Cyberpunk 2077. This game's been in development for 8 years. It's an action role-playing game. The story takes place in a night city, which is an open world set in a cyberpunk universe. I'm just reading this off of Wikipedia. Players assume the first-person perspective of a customizable mercenary known as V, who can acquire skills in hacking and machinery with options for melee and ranged combat. Sounds like a great game. Sounds really cool. Definitely up my alley for those of us that are into tech. It seems like a really cool game. And I could see why it was hyped. The game looked great. But I think it was extremely overhyped while knowing what we know now. But it just goes to show you that these games that get hyped and hyped and hyped, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a good game. So I think that this needs to sort of change in the future, and people shouldn't just base their purchase decisions on games based on the hype, but maybe, you know, some actual gameplay footage and people playing the game and seeing what it actually looks like, as opposed to all the PR around it. Cyberpunk was released on December 10th after being pushed back several times already, as were a lot of games this year, just due to the world situation and, you know, games being, developers having trouble adjusting to the work from home and getting these games done and communicating with the team, all that kind of stuff, right? But it was released on December 10th and it was completely unplayable, unless you were playing on like a next gen system, which I don't even know if they've released it for the next gen systems yet, to be honest, actually. I think all the footage was shown on next gen systems, so it looked good. And I know that it was working okay on like very modern high end gaming PCs that have like the latest graphics cards in them. But basically any other computer, even if it had like good hardware in it, if it was anything other than like the most modern hardware and fastest PC out there, you almost couldn't play the game. It was struggling on all of these PCs that were like even a year old. So it was completely unplayable on consoles that weren't next gen. It was very bad on PC. It wasn't optimized well. But despite all that, it sold 8 million copies before anybody even knew any of this, because it was in development for so long and it was hyped so much. It had sold 8 million copies, which is just bizarre. And then it comes out and it's a huge flop. Nobody can play it. It's not working properly. It's actually giving people with that are prone to seizures, because there's scenes in the game that are seizure inducing, and they talked about how accessible the game is going to be and how that was in development for years, and yet it's giving people seizures. Like, this is a terrible thing, and the game should never have been released like this. So they actually announced they were going to do a refund for the game, but they didn't even check with their retailers before they announced that. Eventually Sony and Microsoft jumped on board and issued refunds. Sony actually went to the extreme of removing it from the PlayStation Store. That's just how bad it was. So all that to say, I guess it was like one of the biggest flops, maybe even in history, of video game releases. I hope they can get things figured out for their sake. The company behind the game was the big company coming off of the release of the Witcher series. They were one of the companies that worked on the Witcher game. So, I mean, it makes sense that the game was very much hyped. But, I mean, I don't know. The reality of it was just that the project was a big, or the release of the game was a big flop. The company behind it, CD Projekt Red, it was the name of the company behind it, again, the ones who made Witcher, had just promised such good things for the game. Their PR was all over how great this game was going to be. And it just seems like there was, I don't know, it was either released way too early, or a lot of things were promised that they couldn't deliver on. But again, it just goes to show you that like hyping up these games so much before they're even out, I don't know. I think that we can't just fall for the hype. We need to actually see what the game's going to be like once it's released. Anyway, that's all I want to talk about on gaming. That sort of wraps it up for this week. So I appreciate you for tuning in again to another episode. Hope you guys are enjoying. Everybody have a safe and merry Christmas and happy holidays. And have a great new year. And we'll be releasing more episodes on a more frequent basis. It should be weekly, as it was before. I had a little hiatus there at the start of the month, but we're back on to schedule now. So looking forward to chatting more with you guys in future episodes.